As I mentioned last week, Peter going to the house of Cornelius was highly unusual. I think Peter himself puts it best when he says in verse 28 of our reading, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation." It was unlawful to them to go to the houses of the Gentiles. It was unlawful for them to closely associate with them. And it was unlawful because they thought that it blurred the line between Jew and Gentile, a line that they thought they were supposed to keep. On the one hand, Christians, it was true God had commanded them to keep themselves pure. They were supposed to be different from the world and to not become stained by it by acting or thinking like they did. And honestly, this is true also for us as Christians. We are called to be different. We are called to be like God in everything. We are called to be holy, even as He is holy. But being different from the world does not mean being cut off from the world. Being different from the world does not mean having no contact with it. But unfortunately, that's exactly how the Jews in Peter's time thought of it. They said to themselves, "We must be separate, we must be distinct, so that there can be no contact, there can be no association, and especially no visiting the houses of the Gentiles. We have to spend as little time as possible among them, because that's what God wants us to do," they said. "We'll just leave those Gentile sinners to themselves." But Christians, God never meant for it to be like that. Being different from the world was not intended to go that far. Because Israel in the Old Testament was called to be a light to the nations. They were called to be holy so that they would be a witness to the whole world, so that all the Gentiles would see what they were doing and come to know God, believe, and be saved. That was the whole point of their being different. But cutting themselves off like they had meant that that could not happen. Israel was now only looking to itself. And they had a reputation, even among the pagans in those days, of being hostile and stuck up and aloof. The Jews had fallen into the sin of partiality, treating someone else differently from the way they treated another, even to the point of considering themselves to be the only people of God, and the Gentiles entirely beyond hope. Now, what do I mean by partiality? Well, I think the way that the Bible expresses this idea sums it up best. There's a common expression in Hebrew that goes something like lifting up someone's face, or looking at someone's face, or even receiving someone's face. Now, I know that the English translations rarely translate it that way. They'll usually say something like partiality or respecter of persons. But I think thinking of it in the biblical picture can be very helpful for us. Because imagine, for example, there's a group of people in front of you, and they're all looking down towards the ground. And you go up to one of them in particular, and you lift up their face to look at them. But you ignore everybody else. That's what it means by partiality. Or if you are looking at a crowd that's looking at you, but you look only at very specific people and you ignore others. And I don't mean just, you know, looking only in a few particular points. I mean actually going out of your way to not look at them. You refuse to look them in the eye. That's what it means by partiality. It's like treating a rich man in one way and a poor man in a different way. It's like giving a favorable judgment to your friends while being especially careful to condemn your enemies. Or, as Peter had been doing, holding up one group of people as the people of God and having nothing to do with all the rest. And even Cornelius himself briefly falls into the sin when he treats Peter as being something more than human, when he worships him as if he was God. Yes, Christians, partiality is a sin that is all too easy for us to fall into, even as Christians. But there is no partiality with God. That's the lesson that Peter had to learn. God does not show his favor only to the rich, nor does he show his favor only to the poor. God does not give justice only to certain people while ignoring the needs of the rest. God does not look at the face of one person and not the face of another, because there is no partiality with God. I think Jesus puts it very well when he says in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Christians, God does not make his sun rise each morning only for the sake of his church. God sends his goodness and his blessings day after day, week after week, year after year, even on those who hate him, because there is no partiality with God. And his rainstorms are not just sent for one particular farmer to go along property lines so that they get the rain but someone else doesn't. God sends his rains over the whole land without distinction to every place where he chooses to send it, because there is no partiality with God. And God did not send his Son into the world only to save those who already loved him. God gave up his only Son to save us while we were still his enemies. He showed us mercy even when we did not deserve it. And Jesus was given for the salvation of the entire world, not just Israel. As Peter says in verse 43, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Everyone, not just Israel, not just the Gentiles, but everyone who believes in him and calls on his name will be saved, because there is no partiality with God. That's the lesson that Peter learned so clearly on that day. And to really drive home this point, God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the house of Cornelius. He sent a kind of second Pentecost, because we see many of the same signs. They heard them speaking in tongues, just like they did at Pentecost. They heard them praising the name of God, just like they did at Pentecost. God was proving through this great sign that he was not going to treat the Gentiles differently. They were not going to come to him in some different way. All would come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. All would be made holy through the same gift of the same Spirit. All would be baptized in the one baptism of God, so that all are joined together in one church, not two or more, both now and in eternity. Now, Christians, I know that Peter's struggle that he was going through is not nearly so intense for us. We don't wrestle with the question of whether Jews and Gentiles can be part of the same church. I mean, we are Gentiles, after all, and we are Christians. And we don't question whether we really belong here because of what Peter learned on that day. So no, that's not really our struggle. But seeing that there is no partiality with God is still important for us to remember. It's still an important lesson that we need to learn, because our struggles with it appear in other ways. Take what James says, for example. James chapter 2. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," well, you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet." Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And as James tells us, why should we hold up one over the other? Has God not welcomed the rich and the poor man together? And if he has welcomed both into his church, Christians, why should we welcome one over the other, to ignore certain kinds of people simply because they're poor? Or think of it this way. We as a church here are pretty closely related to each other, or at least you guys are. But do we show the same hospitality and warmth and love to strangers and to outsiders that we would to those of our own family? God has welcomed the stranger and the outsider. Why should we not do the same? Or even think of this in terms of racial and ethnic differences. I mean, would we welcome them too? I don't mean setting up some kind of quota where we have to have a certain number of black people or a certain number of Mexican people in order to really be following God's law here. No, that would be partiality, but in a different way. In that case, you're looking at faces far more than anything else. But rather just to ask ourselves if we would be willing to reach across the divisions that so many in our nation try to create, and to welcome one another as brothers in the Lord. Would we be willing to do that as Christians? Because Christians, let us first remember that God has welcomed us, and he has shown all of us the same mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ. He has called us all to be one body in him. And since we have been made one in Jesus Christ, let us also seek that unity with one another. Let us welcome each other in true Christian love. There is no partiality with God. Therefore, let there be no partiality among us either. Let us pray. Lord God, who proclaims the same gospel to the whole world, lead us to be united with one another in true peace and love, both now and in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.